Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to one of the most meaningful services of the year. It's our All Saints Day, where we remember those who have entered into glory since we met this last time. To me, it has the same feel as Ash Wednesday service. When our Ash Wednesday service, we remember that we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. A wonderful book was written several years ago by Harold Gaines named A Lesson Before Dying. And he writes in that book that until we get to the point where we are comfortable with our dying, we're not able to enjoy our living. And as old people, having the faith and the hope of a resurrected Christ, we can approach this thing we call death with confidence. It doesn't eliminate the sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope, but we enter it with great hope. So today we'll have an opportunity. If there's one that needs to be added, we can do that, but we have a list you'll see in the bulletin of those that we are remembering today. I would encourage, if you are listed as a lighter, that during that time, and if you'll come to the front a little bit before the time that you would light so that it would go a little more smoothly, come and light a candle on one of the prayer mountains, and then take a stone that you'll see on the altar. Jesus Christ said that he is the rock, the foundation. Take a stone with you after you light a candle. Now, the candles need to be lit at the bottom, and you turn it to the right, or clockwise, whichever way you want to. Or as Dave Gardner technically said, righty-tighty, so you can do that and turn it that way. But please do not light any of those three. Leave those three. Those of you who have been here, you know they are a part of the service, but are not to be lit. Also, I would encourage you, if you have your shoe boxes filled already during the time of the offering, you can bring them forward, as some have already, and put them by the altar. Any other announcements?
Real quick about the shoe boxes. This coming up Sunday is the deadline. There's some confusion about the cost. If you want to pay for the postage, it's $10 a box, and it's an additional $6 to ship the books. What would be easiest for the Well is, if you want to write a check, write it to the Well Church and the memo put Samaritan's Purse, postage or something. That way it's easier for us to just collect what we can and then write a check to Samaritan's Purse.
Okay. Thank you. So if you'd like to contribute at that.
Can you repeat that for us back in?
Yeah. If you want to contribute to the shipping of the shoe boxes, it's $10.
Yep.
To ship the box. If you would like to help toward that, we're doing 50 boxes, so our goal would be $500. And don't laugh. So if you'd like to help toward that, it would be easier for our bookkeeping if you would make a check out to the Well Church and in the memo line put Christmas boxes or Operation Christmas Child. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Sure. I brought my two, they're in the truck, but you know, I had written what they told us to do, so I'll avoid that check. So can I give you the two boxes and then bring the check?
Sure, yes, that sounds great.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Yes, sir.
Just want to remind the men that are coming to the men's group this coming Wednesday. It's at my house, and it's earlier, 6:30 instead of 7.
Great. 6:30, 303 Fairwinds Court, Forest, at 6:30 for all the men. Looking forward to having some goodies from Wisconsin. So thanks, Dave. Anyone else? All right. As we move to prayer list, one that I would like to have you added is Craig Stevens' mother. Jenny is in the hospital having difficulties, so let's keep Jenny Stevens in our prayers. Any other items for prayer? Agnes. I'm sorry.
I have a silent prayer request.
Let's lift up a silent prayer request. An unspoken one. And I know we all have those. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My friend Janet Higgins, her husband is Bishop Higgins, and he passed away 3 weeks ago. I saw her yesterday. She's having a hard time. She was 65 years old. So would you just pray for her son, Bobby, and Chris, and her family?
So a friend of Carrie's, Janet Higgins, lost her husband, Bishop.
Mm-hmm. And Bishop Higgins, 3 weeks ago.
So let's keep the Higgins family in our prayers. Thank you. Oh, Bishop Philip Weeks is in the hospital, so let's keep Bishop Weeks in our prayers. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
On here, I have my friend Stacy. It says her mom's in the hospital. Her mom is actually in hospice.
Thank you. Any others? Yes, Amy. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
She's a teacher at her school. It's Gian and her nephew.
Kian?
Gian.
How do you spell that?
G-E-H-A-N. Gian.
Okay. And her nephew?
Her nephew passed away.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We will lift her up. Any others? Yes, Brian.
My sister's having a spine surgery. This is coming up Friday.
What's her name?
Laura Cash.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
One more. I have a silent prayer request.
Okay.
I can't get out detail right now.
Sure. Well, another unspoken. Aren't we glad that the Lord knows our hearts? And before we even voice it, He is attending to those concerns on our hearts. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, what a joy it is to run to your presence. To come unto me, you cry out, and I will give you rest. As the prophet would say, we come unto you for fine wine and sweet milk that requires no purchase price. Given to us, purchased by the precious blood of your Son, our Savior, but offered to us freely. And we come. For we need you. We need one another. We need the presence of the Almighty in the transitory nature of living of life. So we come here with great expectations, knowing, as you have promised, that you will meet us here. Two or three gathered in your name, hearing your word, receiving your sacraments, we will be met by the altogether lovely one. It is our source of strength and all joy. So we come together and we lift up these prayer requests that we've been mentioned. We lift in a collective way all the names that will be remembered on this All Saints Day. We just pray that we will be grateful for the gift that we have of these individuals and confident of knowing that they yet are. And we continue in Christ to be in communion. We pray that you'd be with those that have been mentioned. I pray that you'd be with Philip Weeks as he's in the hospital. Be with Jenny Stevens as they both are in the hospital. We pray that you would be with Stacy as her mother is in hospice. We pray that you would be with Laura with her upcoming procedure. We pray that you would be with those that have lost. I pray that you would be with the Guillen family and the loss of this young man. Just support them and strengthen them. Where our prayers go to the Higgins, we pray that you would be with Janet and with her sons. We pray that you'll draw close and comfort them. We pray that you'd be with the unspoken prayer requests that have been mentioned by a couple. And I pray that you would be with that request that's on our hearts at this time. We thank you, our Father, that you are even more eager to respond to our needs than we are aware of our needs. So we simply come into your presence. And in your presence, we are strengthened. And in your presence, all is well. Through your holy name. Amen. If you look with me to the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me into the interior. We'll use the psalm that will be the sermon text and our call to worship, Psalm 149. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 68, Holy, Holy, Holy. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in the congregation of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and adorns the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in your throat, and the two-edged sword in your hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains, and their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is a glory for all his faithful people. Hallelujah.
Holy, 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 Lord God. Revelation 7:9-17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You have knit together your people in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys which you have prepared for those who love you, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children and joint heirs with Jesus Christ of all things. Therefore, we with joy and boldness pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading from today is from 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give you thanks
We praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll draw your attention to our list in the bulletin that we will be remembering today, I would ask you to enter with me into this time of one, not of sadness, but one of the truth of the reality of knowing that as I read each name, these individuals were not lost. We know where they are, and that is our hope. You will hear me say that they have entered into glory on a particular day. So I would ask those that will be lighting for different individuals mentioned to come forward. And if you'll come two or three before your name is read, and then light any of the candles except for the top three on the piano side of the altar. And then please take a rock that you can have for you or give to someone in the family. So let us enter into this time together. Linda Hunt entered into glory November the 11th, 2021. Benjamin McTire entered into glory November the 17th, 2021. Paul O'Keefe Brown entered into glory December the 24th, 2021. Loretta J. Stakura entered into glory January the 3rd, 2022. Marie Dietz Coates entered into glory January the 19th, 2022. John Thornton entered into glory February the 3rd, 2022. Johan entered into glory February the 7th, 2022. William Randolph Randy Williams entered into glory February the 18th, 2022. Marion McDowell Lowry Boone entered into glory, April the 29th, 2022. Marshall Lewis Stevens entered into glory May the 25th, 2022. Linda Gail Stennett entered into glory June the 10th, 2022. Claude Vaughn Driscoll entered into glory June the 29th, 2022. Phyllis Ray Galloway entered into glory July the 7th, 2022. Walter Ray Wright entered into glory July the 16th, 2022. Ruby Worley entered into glory July the 22nd, 2022. Donna Jean Horn entered into glory August the 7th, 2022. Wayne Staples entered into glory August the 22nd, 2022. Jane Rico Brunette entered into glory October the 8th, 2022. Walker K. Graham entered into glory October the 17th, 2022. We also remember all those who died in 2022, and we don't know them, but our comfort and our strength is knowing that we are never forgotten by the love of our Father. So we light a candle in memory of those that entered into glory that we are unaware of in 2022. And there's one candle that will remain unlit. It remains unlit for all those who will enter into glory in 2023. There are many things that we know and many things that we don't know. You don't know. I don't know if a candle will be lit for me or for you next All Saints Day. None of us have that assurance. But the assurance that we have is that if a candle is lit for us next year, because of the last candle that's lit and is perpetually and eternally lit, we can do so in confidence of knowing that because Jesus Christ died and rose again, we all have hope, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I'd ask you to stand now for the reading of the gospel before the sermon.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you to John and to Jen and always helping me. And y'all did pretty good lighting the candle this time. Well, I wasn't going to mention that, but now that you did. But, you know, the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, and I say this with all seriousness and joy, we don't have to do it perfectly, do we? Because we know the one who did do it perfectly. And we rest in him. So it is our joy. As the Heidelberg Catechism said, our only hope in life and in death is that we are not our own, but we have been purchased with a price, and we are his. So let us look to our Father, asking his blessings upon our brief sermon of the day. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you have transferred us from the kingdom of dark to the kingdom of light. And that light that shines within us is an eternal light. It dispels all darkness. It overcomes all doubt. It diminishes all fears. And it gives us the comfort of knowing that we are known by the true light that lighteth us all. We ask this through his holy name. Amen. As you can tell, and as you know, if you've been around here, we do make sort of a big to-do about All Saints Day. So why does it matter to be a saint? In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that ever lived, he also wrote that the wise and the foolish have this in common. And a couple weeks after they're gone, and a couple weeks after they've been buried, people go on with their life. One of my greatest quotes is by the very accomplished author and speaker who's written multiple bestsellers, and he's well known in business and evangelical circles. His name is John Maxwell. He's very well known, but he puts it in perspective as well when he says that what humbles him is he knows that 20 minutes after his death, and the burial at the graveside, the biggest concern everyone will have is, where's the potato salad? And that is true.
So if life just moves on, why does it matter if you're a saint? In Psalm 149, the psalm of the day, we see three different places where saints are listed. In verse 1, and verse 9, 5, and verse 9. And we see here why it matters to be a saint. And let me try to outline. The first reason it matters about being a saint, we see in verse 4, is that God finds great pleasure in them. And the verb there in the Hebrew is in present tense. It doesn't mean that one day when you die, God finds great pleasure in you. It means right now, God finds great pleasure in you. And you may be thinking, well, I'm glad God does, because I look in the mirror pretty closely and I don't see much to celebrate. But God finds great pleasure that you are His children. One of my favorite stories, and I don't apologize if you've heard it before, because we all need to hear it again, is a sermon illustration I heard in a sermon that was being preached. And I love the story, but I reverse it. And it's a story about a piano student who had worked many years under a very demanding instructor. And it comes time for him to do his great senior recital, and it's a three-story auditorium, a beautiful facility. It's packed to the hilt, and he goes out and he plays his heart out. They call for an encore, and he does an encore for them. And when he finishes, he gets up and he bows, and the crowd is going crazy. They're cheering and laughing, and I'm not laughing, applauding, and they're happy and joyous. And he's looking from behind the curtain, and one of the stagehands sees that he's quite dejected. And he said, how can you be dejected when you're getting this type of response from people? And he said to the stagehand, do you see that man on the second level over to the right, the one that's not standing, the one that's not clapping, the one that's got a scowl on his face? That's my piano teacher. And the preacher went on to say, and that's the way God is. You may have the whole world fooled and applauding you and clapping your accomplishments, but God's that piano teacher and He knows better. And I'm thinking, I almost stood up. I almost demanded that that preacher, who was not a preacher of good news, be quieted. Because the truth, brothers and sisters, the truth that the psalmist knew and the truth I bring to you is God is the one who's always applauding you. Even when the world would turn a scowl. Even when your family would desert you. Even when your best friend would betray you. God is the one who's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. They're mine. So when we see in Psalm 149 that God takes pleasure in you right now, exactly where you are, it's good news. But it also matters to be a saint, not only because God takes pleasure in you. The end of verse 4 tells us that there is coming a time that God will give us true peace. There will be a time that we read in Revelation 7 where we'll be free from bodily aches. When we won't have those pains that all of us are having more and more of. When we won't have those troubles. Sherry and I were listening to a song this morning that speaks of this. And I was half tempted to do a solo for you during the sermon. And I know you're grateful that I resisted that temptation. But I'll say enough to have it come into your mind. Lord, I wish I had a voice like Vince Gill, and I would do it. I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. See, life is short and full of trouble. But the psalmist looks to that point where we will, through Christ, go rest high on that mountain. Those names that we mentioned today, Their struggles are over. Not one person that we listed today, I don't care how good or bad, how beautiful or ugly, how long or short they lived, not one person in that list would come back if they had an opportunity. Knowing the glories of being in Christ, the true peace, the freedom from our affliction, that's why it matters to be a saint. And then the final thing, which blows my mind, is what we see beginning in verse 5 of Psalm 149, is God glorifies us. God glories in us. He sings for joy over honoring us. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a person fully alive, and we're never more fully alive than when we're in the next life, when we are in God's presence. Paul puts it very simply. And we may read it, and he's not writing as a theologian. He's writing as a pastor that wants people to be encouraged. In Romans, he says about God very clearly, those whom he justified, he also glorifies. Those God has saved, those God has redeemed, those God has placed his love upon in Christ, he glorifies. God glories in you. Paul tells us there's more rejoicing in heaven over one that's redeemed than 99 righteous people. That's the best title you have. Now, those of you who know me, I'm going to reveal something to you today. And I hope you're appropriately astounded. What I tell you. Those of you who know me know that I'm not big into titles. Tom is my favorite title. I don't have any, and never have had like diplomas hanging in the office. You know, I'm not into that stuff. But there is one that I do take a little bit of pride in. And if I could find it, I would have brought it in and showed it to you. It's a title that was given to me. It puts me in the ranks of Harlan Sanders. I want you to know that I am a Kentucky colonel. And I am entitled for you, and appropriately I could use the title, and for you to call me Colonel. I could be Colonel Tom. I'll start with Sherry. Colonel Tom. And I am, as a colonel, I am given the privileges. It's actually given the privileges, and it states in the research that I did that it is the highest honor that the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia can bestow upon someone. I'm curious, any of you colonels? Female colonel? Oh, how much did yours cost? And I thought, it's beautiful plaque. And you know what? But they lied to me. It's not the greatest honor or the highest honor that the governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky could have bestowed upon me. Mine was signed by the illustrious Governor Ernie Fletcher. And what Mr. Fletcher, or he's actually a medical doctor, what Dr. Fletcher as governor could have done that would have honored me even more than being given the title of colonel is he could have adopted me. He could have made me one of his heirs and being a joint heir. He could have put his love upon me as a son. I'd much rather be an adopted son of a wealthy governor than I would a colonel. And you say, well, what did you do to earn such an illustrious title? And the truth is, brothers and sisters, I did nothing. Not one thing. Except say thank you to the friend I had who was a Commonwealth's attorney and happened to have a good friendship with the governor. And my friend put a good word in. My friend promoted me to the governor. My friend said to the governor, I want you to put this highest title that the Commonwealth can give upon an old boy back in Virginia. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know you have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And not because you've done anything to earn it, not because you've done anything to merit it. You have a friend who has a pretty good relationship with the eternal God of the universe. For he said, he and my Father are one. And for no other reason than he took great pleasure in you, your friend in high places said to his Father, honor this one. Sing over this one. Dance because they come into your presence. Welcome them through my work as you would welcome me. Whatever joy, Father, whatever reward I have earned by keeping your law perfectly, put it to their account. Don't assess them on who they are. When you look at them, see me. That's why, and you may have gotten confused, a real disagreement, probably the chief disagreement I have with another church group that we broke away from, we celebrated it last week, is they don't think All Saints Day is for everyone. In fact, you may have seen, they have All Saints Day one day, and guess what they have the next day? All Souls Day. And I've been asked, well, why does the church have an All Saints Day and then the very next day they have All Souls Day? And the truth of the matter is, from their perspective, not everybody's a saint. You have to work and earn and live in a certain way and behave just correctly. You have to make sure that you've crossed every T and dotted every I, and you've got to labor hard to become a saint. But because we want to be gracious, we'll set another day, we'll just recognize everybody else. Brothers and sisters, the truth of the gospel is God doesn't have 2 days like that. He has one day where all souls are called saints in Christ Jesus, for no other reason than we have a friend in high places. That's our hope, and that's our joy, that's our confidence in life and in death. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and redeeming God, in Adam, Abraham, and Moses, in Deborah, Esther, and Mary, you have chosen not simply to direct the course of events, but to be in relationship with us and to entrust your children with the embodiment and exercise of your will. In the dying and rising Christ, you give us not just a Savior, but an example. And in every generation, you call people to imitate the pattern of his life and death. And so, witness to your glory, you call us to be not heroes who go it alone, but saints whose every breath depends on others and on you. We rejoice that those saints take their place in the company of heaven, with whom we join in singing the unending hymn of your joy and praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Transforming God, in this gathering you take the fruit of the vine and human hands and make them a blessing for your people now and forever. As our earthly bodies decay and die and resemble your Son's body taken down from the cross, send your Spirit and remake us in the image of your Son's resurrected body, that our scars may be signs of your glory and our hearts may be one with yours. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Resurrecting God, bless those who mourn, that they may be comforted. Bless the poor in spirit, that they may inherit the kingdom of heaven. Bless the pure in heart, that they may see you. Visit those who face death amid persecution and violence, that they may know the gladness and rejoicing of your kingdom. Be close to any who end their days in agony and isolation, that they may enter the joy of their reward. Where your children feel all is lost, meet them in their fear. Touch them in their loneliness and raise them by your mercy, so that on the last day, when you bring a new heaven and a new earth, that they may discover you as an infinite circle, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, and be changed from glory into glory with and by you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we're commanded in an earlier psalm to taste and see that the Lord is good. Isaiah would say, "All those who thirst, come. For all those who hunger, come. Drink and eat that the which is prepared for us by Christ." See, we can taste and see that he is good, for he tasted death for all of us. And because he tasted death and defeated that enemy, it is now a defeated enemy which serves the service of the victor. Death is that which serves our Savior in ushering his children home. But he also promised, as we walk through the valley on our way home, he will never leave nor forsake us, but he walks with us. He is present here, preparing a table in the presence of our enemies, to his glory and our good. So I ask and invite all you who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank you for the love that you've shown to us. We thank you for extending your grace and mercy, calling us all through Christ, your children, refusing never anyone to come to you, guaranteeing even a thief who would simply glance to you and say, "Remember me," the full abundance of your mercy. So we look to you. We ask for mercy. And we confidently give you thanks, knowing that you are the one of all truth. We rest upon your word, eternally settled in heaven, that we are your saints, as precious and known as all the stars in the sky, by the Creator God of us all. Through Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being. Amen. Let us stand and sing. But before you stand, I want to give one more image of this thing we call death. I was thinking, being on a trip this week, of the phenomenon or status we speak of in working called retirement. Many of you are retired. Many of us are facing retirement. And we understand there's nothing death-producing about retirement. It can open up whole new vistas for joy. And a song that's just been going through my mind all week, and it makes me think of All Saints Day, by one of my favorite singers from West Virginia, Kathy Mattea. And she speaks of a gentleman who was a truck driver named Charlie. And he's about ready to retire. And I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, it's a great way to look at our own death. And in the refrain, it says, and again, I won't sing it, 18 wheels and a dozen roses, 10 more miles on a 4-day run, a few more songs on the old night radio, and he'll spend his life with the one he loves. Brothers and sisters, when it's time for us to retire, we go and spend the life, the rest of our time, with the one we love, and far more importantly, the one that loves us more than life. That's worth singing and praising. Let's stand and do something.
Thank you.
to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the throne. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thank you.